Oh, let me turn these notes around in the right direction or I'll be preaching backwards. I get to have my new Bible today. It was a gift.
All right.
From y'all, and hallelujah. Here we go. In The Lord of the Rings by Tolkien, the little thing Sam said, I wonder what sort of tale we have fallen into. I was so blessed several years ago that Kelly Aubin gave me a book that I fell in love with. It's by John Eldridge. It's called The Epic. And I'm going to begin what I'm going to talk to you about today out of the construct of Eldridge as he laid this out, The Epic. Life is not a math problem, and I'm quoting Eldridge. Life is not a math problem. It's like a story. Wouldn't you love it if it was a math problem? You could just get an algorithm at birth. Instead of a belly button, you just have like a little algorithm that would have your whole life laid out and it would just and go in the right direction. Life isn't a math problem. It's a story. It comes to us the way a story does, scene by scene. You don't get to know what's coming next. You have to enter into the journey. Life unfolds like a drama. John Eldridge. Thank you, Kelly Aubin. I'm so glad you're in this house to hear me do this. So this little character, Sam in The Lord of the Rings, who said, I wonder what sort of tale we have fallen into, he assumes that there's a story. He assumes that there's a story and that something larger is going on, and he has fallen into it. He's been swept up into something bigger than himself. And so I want to tell you today that God has a story and we have fallen into it. We've been swept up into something bigger than ourselves. What we are experiencing in this drama is not just about what we can do with our strife and our efforts. We have to yield and enter into the journey. And we're in it whether you like it or not. But it's a bigger story than the story of your life. You have a part to play, like each of those little kids. Carletta told me, she said, we couldn't get Braxton to run to the Mary. The little toddler was Braxton, Martin, and Brittany's baby, and so the Braxton wouldn't run to the Mary. So Carletta said, we just grabbed the Mary scarf and threw it over his mother, and he ran right to her. And so Brittany got into that. She fell right into that story. And so we don't know how we're going to play, what we're going to play, what our roles are. Brittany wasn't thinking she was going to be a Mary in a play, loaning her toddler who would not yield to another mother. And so that became really a serendipitous part of what happened. And so God has this story, and we have fallen into it, and we're trying to sort out what sort of tale it is. Like that character said in The Lord of the Rings, I wonder what sort of tale we have fallen into. Do you ever think, what is my life? What sort of tale have I fallen into? God has a story, and we have fallen into this tale. And so we're trying to sort out what sort of tale this is. So I want to give you a little bit of how the storyline goes, of God's story that we have fallen into. And you don't know, you may have a Mary cloth thrown over your head any day, or you may have a Joseph staff put in your hand, or you don't know what part you will play as you're in this journey. But I'm going to tell you before I end how you're going to know your part. Jesus was before the world was made. This is some of my favorite stuff, so God help me not cry and go off like R.W. Schombach just preaching the raw gospel to heathen out there. Jesus was before the world was made. Did you know that? He was before he was. He was in God's story. Revelation 13, verse 8, tells us that the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. So the storyline was pretty much the big part of the storyline was laid out before anything was laid. Proverbs 8 says of Jesus, personified as wisdom, I was with him at the creation. Oh, I was daily his delight. And just rejoicing in the things that I watched the Father make. And my delights were in the habitable parts of the earth. So when the Word of God there at creation, our Lord Jesus before his birth onto the earth, he was there at the creation. Nothing was made in the story of God that wasn't made through him. You read the first chapter, that's a Christmas story, John chapter 1. He cut to the chase, he didn't tell anything. He went right to the theology. Without him was not anything made that was made. He was there at the beginning of the story. There he was. And when Father started making habitable parts of the earth, he was going, oh, that's where the people are going to be. But he was slain before they started laying out those foundations. He rejoiced in where the people would be, knowing he would die to redeem them. And so in God's story, God worked as a creator. The story starts, for our understanding of God on earth, is the creation of the world. And so God worked 6 days. God worked 6 days. This is God's story. He worked 6 days. He didn't work on the seventh day. He reserved it. He reserved it. Matthew chapter 12, verse 40 says of Jesus Christ, says, Jonah was 3 days in the belly of the whale. So the Son of Man will be 3 days in the heart of the earth. You know that Jesus was slain at the Passover. You know when the Jewish Sabbath is? It's not Sunday. The Sabbath begins Friday night, sundown, goes Saturday night, sundown. The Christians did not celebrate their celebration on the Sabbath. They celebrated on the first day of the week, because what happened on the first day of the week? Jesus came out of the ground. So where was Jesus on the Sabbath? He was working. He was working on the day reserved for no work. He was working. He was defeating hell, death, the grave. Took the keys of hell from the devil, and he did it on the day that was reserved. So God did the creation 6 days, and in one day, Jesus Christ the Son did the redemption. And so in the Moravian tradition, Jesus, please help me not do. In the Moravian tradition, Comenius, who taught how to teach children, taught people to teach their children that from the time they're little, teach them to love the creation and to love the Creator. When you're walking with them, say, oh, look at this tree. The Creator made this tree. Look at how big the sky is. The Creator made the sky. So first you teach them the Creator, and then you introduce them and teach them the Redeemer. Because that's how God worked. His whole work week was 6 days of making stuff and one day of redeeming man. And I just love to think about that. He set aside that day for the Redeemer's work. That's his story. So that's God's story. And Jesus entered, and this is where it comes to our part and how we do this, why this matters so much to us now. Jesus entered the story on earth at the appointed time. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, in my precious new Bible, be sure I got it. When the fulfillment of time had come, but when that era had come to an end, the era of tutors and people guarding you like you were going, like you were prisoners, when that time had come to a fulfillment and an end, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the written law. Yet all of this was so that he would redeem and set free all of those held hostage to the written law, so that we would receive our freedom and our full legal adoption as children. So when the fullness of time was just right, Father sent the Son. He sent the Son when everything was just right, so he could break off of us the demands and the curse of the law. If you have any question about, read Galatians. He had something to give that was not law. Law is the map. The life of God coming into you by the Holy Spirit is the gas in the tank. That is the gospel. But church, you know how church tries to get law, 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 law. That's just the nature of human beings when they gather together in a spot. They all start finding out, see, how can I include one, exclude one, make it hard for some, make it easy for others. It's just the human nature. We do our little thing in the flesh. But when God brought his story into the visible world, you know, there's two worlds. There's the visible and the invisible. The invisible world is more powerful than the visible world. It is. What you can't see is more powerful than what you can see. That's a scare a little kid with that. oh, there's something you can't see. Well, when God says that to you, it's not to scare you. It's to let you know there's a power out there bigger than you. And the story that we've entered into, this tale we've fallen into, is bigger than ourselves. Here we are in the visible world. Here is God with this humongous, ginormous story in the invisible world that's been working for long spaces of time. And different people would fall into that story, like King David, or someone else would fall into that story, find themselves in that tale at certain points in time. But the tale, the story, keeps going on. And here we are. We've fallen into this tale. So when God brought his story into the invisible world, when heaven came to earth, this is something we desire, yearn for, and pray for, and make it our prayer. God, bring heaven on earth. Let your will be done on earth like it is done in heaven. Let your will be done on earth like it is done in heaven. When heaven came to earth, he entered earth. Hear me, I'm going to get tight here. He entered earth through a word spoken to a teenage girl. He entered earth through a word spoken to a teenage girl. The seed was the spoken word. In Luke 1:38, I want to read you this. Oh, I love this. In Luke 1:38, she's told, you're going to be pregnant. Kathy Dowell dreamed that I was pregnant. I was like, whoa. Well, I dreamed last night that I barked like a dog at a Navy SEAL and he tried to kill me. So, hello, I'm having a different kind of dream. I like Kathy's better. I'm like, hello, I thought, what are you doing, Jane? Taunting the devil? So she dreamed I was pregnant and you couldn't tell I was pregnant. I thought, oh, good. Then maybe she didn't see the roll on my stomach and all those pictures about the ordination. She said, I didn't look pregnant, but as soon as everybody knew I was pregnant, I was like, I got to go to the hospital. It's happening now. I said, well, then I will receive that word. Let it be done that things will be born that we don't have to be miserable to get. Yeah. Whoa, let's agree with that word. Because you know what it is, like a ninth month of pregnancy, especially if you're pregnant in August, you're just like, oh, God. put me in an ice freezer or something. Mary responded. Here's what Mary said when he said, you're going to have a baby. She responded saying, this is amazing. She's a young teenager, probably 13, 14 years old, a spouse to Joseph. Being pregnant, not being married is disgrace. And in that culture, potential death. It was not a happy thing. Why is she saying, this is amazing? She said it was amazing because of who said it. She had an ear to hear something that gave life to her. So then Mary responded saying, this is amazing. I will be a mother for the Lord. I love this. I will be a mother for the Lord. As his servant, I accept whatever he has for me. May everything you have told me come to pass. And then the angel left her. This is amazing. I will be a mother for the Lord. So she received a word that came out. That angel came out of the presence of the Lord, you know. It wasn't just some rogue angel out there. The seed was given to her through the word that angel said. It's amazing, I will be a mother for the Lord. She received, when she said that, in KJV it says, be it unto me according to your word. When she said that, she partnered to bring heaven into earth by choosing to accept the word that she heard. She heard a word from something that had the presence of God all over it. She heard that word and she agreed with it and said, this is amazing. I will be a mother for the Lord. And she partnered with a word that was said to her that she heard out of the presence of the Lord. And partnering with that word put life in her. With that yes, I believe it at that moment, I think, with that yes of that young virgin girl, the Redeemer entered into the human. Heaven came to earth and came into her. Bill Johnson has a phrase that I love. We are to be brokers of another world. We are to be brokers of another world. James, in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 21, it says, in humility, receive the word that's implanted so that you can save your souls will be saved. In humility, receive the word that is planted. Do you know the voice of the Lord? Are you familiar with His Spirit and His presence? Do you know what it is like to be in His presence and have Him speak something into you? When He makes a verse come alive to you off of a page, that is the Spirit speaking into you. And when He speaks, something will come alive in you. A rhema word, I think it was Johnny Taylor who said it here, a rhema word has within it, a spoken word, a proceeding word from God, has within that word the power to fulfill itself and perform itself. It's like all in there. So all that the angel said, the word that they brought straight out of heaven into this little virgin kid, that word, as she said yes to that word, the word itself had the power in it to fulfill it and make it come to pass and bring Jesus all the way to his full term and birthed out of her. That word was alive. The word of God says, it is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The Word of God was made flesh when he spoke the word, when Jesus spoke the word, it became spirit. In him the word of God was made flesh. But out of him, when he spoke the word, it became spirit. So, when we think of faith, we think of, Doc, I've got to figure out how I'm going to be able to believe this. That is kind of how, you know, it's kind of how I approach it sometimes. Like, I can get in a strife about it. The Lord spoke to me over this time. Faith is not the result of effort. I want you guys, I'm landing this plane. Faith is not the result of effort. Faith is the result of surrender. What did Mary do? Well, see, I got to find, oh gosh, how am I going to do that? Is there a sperm bank here? Because, I don't want to like do something I shouldn't. Well, okay. How am I going to make this happen? And so she's like thinking through how well. No, she surrendered. This is amazing. I'm going to be a mother for God. That's a surrender. She surrendered. And faith came into her when she surrendered to the word that she heard. So faith doesn't come by our efforts of trying to, I gotta believe this, gotta believe this, gotta believe this. I gotta get 65 verses and pray them over and over and over and over. Get in the presence of the Lord and worship him and honor him and open your heart and open your ears and let him speak. Because when he speaks, spirit comes out and life comes into you with the sound of his speaking. Faith is born. It is born of surrender. It is born of worship. Give him your heart. Striving to believe creates presumption. I'm quoting Bill Johnson now. Striving to believe creates presumption. It creates methods and strategies and presumptions that frustrate people. And why is this not happening? I believe the best I can believe. Faith does not come by effort. It comes by hearing. Now, and I'm still quoting Bill Johnson. Faith comes by hearing. Notice it does not say faith comes by having heard. Faith doesn't come by having heard. Not something that happened in the past. Not just the actual words being spoken. Bill Johnson said this, if that was the case, we could just put on a loudspeaker playing verses over cities and they'd all come to the Lord. They get faith from hearing the verses. Faith comes from hearing, not from having heard. It is a present tense hearing in the presence of the Lord. So I want to tell you today that why this is so important. This is that we've fallen into this tale. We've fallen into this story. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. The kingdom of God is in the Holy Spirit. We must have the Spirit. We must have more and more of the Spirit. In the book of Acts, they didn't receive the Holy Spirit one time and say, oh, we got the Holy Spirit. Okay, we got that done. Check that off. Now we'll do la, la, la. But when they would come together to pray, the scripture said, and they were all filled with the Spirit. Those were the people that were already filled with the Spirit. Well, how'd you get what happened? Filled, 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 filled. When we're in his presence, let him fill you. Surrender, say, oh, this is amazing. I'll be a mother for God. And let him fill you with his life. I'm being kind of preachy, I'm sorry. I'll back off of that. Oh. I personally just, a woman preaching, oh my gosh. Not you, Pastor, you're not preachy, you're teachy. You know, but like somebody goes, ah, ah, ah. I'm like, oh gosh, give her some Valium. It's time for us to find our hearts. It's time for us to find our hearts, where our hearts are. And it's time for us to yield them and surrender. Because God has something for us in this story. In this tale that we've fallen into this epic, each one of us has a place in the story. There's a person for us to be, a character that we're going to play. Actually, you're going to be actually playing your actual self and Jesus releasing his life through you. Because he can't come to people who hide and pretend. He said, who are you? He's coming for Adam and Eve, and he's like, where are y'all? Well, we're right here. I thought, well, I don't recognize you. You're not the way I made you. So in the world that we're in this world that has visible and invisible, that has earth and has heaven, it is our task and our yearning and our desire. And this is what the church is. The church is the place where heaven comes to earth.
Yes.
And that takes place as we yield and surrender our hearts. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. There's room in there for you. And as we yield and surrender our hearts, not to be made into something that someone can put on the shelf and say, oh, Pam Minnick is a deliverance prayer. That's who she is. That's what she is. We don't get fixed and made and polished up. We're yielding people to the day we die if we have the life of the Holy Spirit. You have certain gifts that God's given you, jobs that He'll give you to do, things that you know, this is my part in this tale. And I never thought God was going to give me this job I have now to do as a part of this tale. But hey, I said, this is amazing. I'll be a mother for God. And so I'm going to ask you today to get in the presence of the Lord and let Him say stuff to you.
Yes.
He might first say, you are ridiculous. You need to get this and this and this and this straightened up. And you're like, okay, okay, be it unto me. But as you're in His presence and with Him, you'll hear things that put faith in your heart. First thing about this tale we're in, things are not as they seem. Things are not as they seem. There's a seen and an unseen world, and the unseen world is more weighty. So you can be seeing things on earth, and it not be as they seem that they are. There can be another factor at play. So you're in a war. Second thing, we are at war. And this is Eldridge. This is a love story set in a war. Aren't they the best? Love stories are in wars. I love like Second World War stories that have like love stories in them. I like the movie Far and Away with Nicole Kidman and Tom Cruise. And it's like the war and the struggle between the Irish Catholics and the rich Protestants. And it's a love story that develops in this warring environment. Well, we are in a love story, but we're in a love story in a warring environment. Because earth and heaven, we're bringing heaven to earth that has demonic powers that are going to fight that. You know, the devil's not going to say, oh, please, Wilmer, would you come and just release the life of God here in this hospital where people are dying? I would just love that. The devil's not ever going to give you an invitation like that. He's going to say, who do you think you are, Wilmer? And his part is going to be war, war, war against you. A love story set in a life and death battle. That's the tale that we've fallen into. And you, each one of you, you have a crucial role to play. Do not underestimate your role in this story. Peter, James, John, they underestimated their role. And you saw what God did with them. Oh my. If you underestimate your role in this story, of hearing God and releasing life and receiving word that turns into spirit so you can bring heaven on earth where you work, where you live, where you speak to people. If you underestimate your role in that, you'll get disheartened. You'll lose heart. And not just lose heart, you will miss your cues. You'll miss your cues. The director going, I would love to have had a video of Carletta and the people that were doing the video giving the kids their cues. I would love to have seen like, here, 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 go. But if we're disheartened and underestimating our role, we'll miss our cues. We will miss our cues. So how do I participate in this? I've fallen into this tale. How am I going to enter into it, into a journey with where I'm hearing from the Holy Spirit and releasing life as He desires it to be? We sang it this morning. Pastor Jimmy, Brother Lambert, as I love to call him, in our Amish life together. Brotherly. When I left Peoria, they said, "What are you doing? What is it like?" I said, "Oh, honey, I'm going to go be almost Amish." Anyway, he didn't know what I was going to be saying when he picked that song, "Come Into My Heart, Lord Jesus. There's room in there for you." I want us today to give him our heart. Yeah. And not just give him our heart because, well, I've already given him my heart. I've been a Christian like 47 years. No, give him your listening ear. Invite the Holy Spirit to come. And wherever you are praying, I want to invite you to spend time in prayer. Over this holiday, spend time in prayer. Well, I'm no good at praying. Well, you can pray. I mean, everybody prays. I like what Pete Grieg says. I prayed when I held my first baby. I prayed when I held my son. I prayed when I saw the Northern Lights. Because I felt I had to give something. It was so magnificent and bigger than me. God wants to make us so aware of the story that we're in is so magnificent and bigger than us that it will pull prayer out of us. Because it's not about having the right answers. It is not about doing things right. It is not about making people feel guilty so they will improve. Guilt be gone out of here in Jesus' name. It's not about guilt. It's about life. That God gives life. And so when we're in His presence and we're before Him and we open our hearts, He's a life giver. And He'll speak words to you that will make something come alive in you.
Yes.
He will. He will do that. He'll speak words in you. He'll speak to your heart. He doesn't speak to your iPad. He speaks to your heart. You don't have an algorithm on your navel. You don't have equation. You don't have a math equation that's all over the map and an algorithm that's going to run your life. You have a heart. And the only way you can be effective to bring heaven to earth is to have a heart that is soft and broken. And in humility receive the word that the Spirit says and is saying. And then you can produce by the Holy Spirit. I want to encourage you today to just say, "This is amazing. I'll be a mother for God. I'll be in His presence. I will listen. Speak to me, Lord." Not having heard, I have heard a lot of things. But what I have heard, though they might be nice if I'm telling you them, more life-giving word will come of what, not what I have heard, but what I am hearing now in His presence. And that's true of all of us. So, Lord, here we are. Let's stand together. Here we are, Jesus. Here we are, Jesus. We give You our hearts. We open wide our hearts. And we say, Lord, we want to not trivialize the role that we have to play in this tale that we found ourselves in. This long, ageless story that You have brought to us of Your love and of Your redemption. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. We take our place. We say yes to You. We open our hearts to hear from You and to let the director say, "Hey, now, this is your cue." Or whatever. But Lord, we say, we open our hearts to You. And the things that are in our hearts that would block us and hinder us The guilt, go.
In the name of Jesus.
In Jesus' name. No guilt, no guilt, no guilt. No guilt, no guilt, no guilt. Conviction, conviction, conviction. Love, 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 love. Gospel, 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 gospel. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness, for your love, for your grace. And Lord, as we are here in this season where we're going to celebrate that heaven came into earth, we don't want to do it as like some memory. We want to honor you by continuing in the story. We want to honor you by having heaven come through us. We want to honor you by hearing and receiving and cooking good things of the kingdom of God. Our ears are open, Lord, speak. And we ask you, Father, in Jesus' name, to pour out your Spirit on your sons and daughters. We pray for a fresh lifing of the Holy Spirit, a new beginning in our hearts as we give them to you. And Lord, I just want to ask you, if you're willing to say, this is amazing, I'll be a mother for God. I just want to lift you to lift your two hands and say, I want to hear. I want more of the Holy Spirit. I want more of the Holy Spirit. Let's ask him to fill us more and more. Fill us more and more. Let your Spirit fill us more and more. Life us fresh in your presence. Lord, we say, hey, what can we do? Lord, we can like line out things to do or whatever, but oh, Poppy. Oh, speak to us, Holy Spirit of God. Let the love of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost be in this house, and your grace and your mercy be on us in a way that we will not be trying to strive for faith. I pray that faith will begin to come by the hearing, that as we hear you speak, faith will come. Life will come.
Yes.
Faith will come, and life will come. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Listen to the Lord. As the word of the Lord comes, it doesn't have to be God says, Judy Wirt, you're going to Africa. It could be a verse that he pulls off the page. Have you ever been reading in the word of God and some verse live?
Yes.
That's the Spirit. That's the hearing. Let your ear lean into that. And say, more, Lord, more, 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 more. Speak to me, Lord. Speak to me, Lord. Speak to me, Lord. Because I want faith that comes by hearing. We want more faith. This is a house of faith. And this will be a house of increasing faith and more faith. And our words will be words of faith, but not words of faith from strife or presumption. Words of faith from hearing. Let our ears be open today. Let our ears be open and we say yes. We say yes to being in this wonderful story. We say yes.
Yes.
We say yes.
Yes.
We say yes. We say yes, we say yes. We say yes, we say yes. We say yes, we say yes. Elion,
yes.
Satan. Oh, let's wait on the Lord and say yes. Yes, yes, yes. Christi elisintelidiendelidiabiladan. Yes, Lord, yes, yes, yes. Yes to your ways. Yes to your purpose. Yes to your desire over our hearts. Yes to opening our hearts. Yes to breaking down walls of defensiveness. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Emirone, see. Ah, la la machea paro. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, yes. Christ, yes, Lord, yes, 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 yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I heard the Lord this or last week, just say this. This year, I'm giving this church a new fa-la-la-la-la.
Yeah.
I have no idea what that means. I just heard it. This year, I'm giving this church a new fa-la-la-la-la. Fa-la-la-la-la. And someone was in the room when I said it out, and they replied, deck the halls with our children. And I pray that a new fa-la-la-la-la will come and that our children will be so filled with joy and filled with the Holy Spirit. That the days ahead we'll watch them be filled more and more with the Holy Spirit, because there is no junior baby Holy Spirit. God wants to fill our children with the Holy Spirit, that they can hear and they can be like that little virgin 13-year-old. This is amazing. I'll be a mother for God. Pani Abaya. Yes, Lord. A new fa-la-la-la-la. So when you greet each other, just go, whoa. It's a new fa-la-la-la-la. It's a new day, new beginning. Hearts wide open. Hearts wide open. Hearts wide open. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
I have a word.
Thank you, Pastor. Let's see. Let's grab her a mic. Brother Lambert, my Amish husband. Fa-la-la-la-la. Oh, Jesus, yeah.
And I can place within you that which is of kingdom value.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
We can mourn about what you know.
Thank you, Lord.
Who you cannot be, for you say, my Father really knew who he could be.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
We receive that word,
Lord. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. We do, we do. There was a woman of God in the year, long, long time ago. Her name's Amy Carmichael. She saved children from temple prostitution in India around early 1900s, I think, was Amy Carmichael's day. She wrote a poem that's become very precious to me over the last 2 weeks, and it has a line in it, "He will not let me miss my signs." If your heart is open, if you let him soften your heart and draw you, he will not let you miss your signs. He can get you with a 2x4 in the head, if need be. But it's a promise is held in that, that we're not dependent upon our ability to make something happen. Our soul is dependent on the Lord and the heart of this congregation. We say today as a congregation, let's just agree together as a congregation.
Yes. We agree.
Our heart is toward you.
Yes, it is, Lord.
We want your way, you to speak, you to draw, the move of your spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit for person after person, child after child, the release of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Poppy. Yes, Jimmy has a microphone. Thank you, Father.
I will tell you when your signs, you really can't miss them because they were so obvious.
Huh.
So how could the job put all those things, but in this pilot project, I built it. I made it. So I'm my own person. I'm an entrepreneur. Yeah, I work for Frontier, which is a nonprofit, and ETSU actually is the state, but I'm not of the state because I work for Frontier.
There, no, not yellow. What? To take the yellow off. There you go.
Okay. Here I am, 29 years later, in ETSU, helping to coordinate care for people who can't do it for themselves. 29 years later, I come back to the place that made me who I am, with all these problems, and you can't miss it. You can't miss your mark. The irony is too great, you'll know.
Right. Yes.
When you said that, it was so, I just had to get up and share it. So.
You can't miss your mark. Amen. That's a good word. That's wonderful. Hallelujah. Well, you guys, I'm going to release you to be blessed and leave here. And we're going to watch the video again. If you want to watch it again, we're going to watch it again.
Yeah, let's do it.
We'll have to kill all the lights.